Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15 plus 1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
And that's what the extreme MAGA Republicans should be doing right now. And as we've indicated, we will have a conversation with House Republicans about the budget, about future spending priorities, about which type of investment should be made to continue to have a strong and robust American economy into the future. We are willing to have that conversation. President Biden has produced a budget. House Republicans produced a ransom note.
Who the hell was this again talking?
Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh, for the love. Golly, I'm telling you what.
Minority leader.
I'm so happy that it's Friday, because this is just, I'm done with these people already. I'm done with them. And we got the leaf blower chasing us outside. I mean, oh my gosh. It's cats and dogs. It's going to hail. It's going to hail like crazy.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria. Right there. Yeah, you can hear it. Well, first off, welcome to the show. I don't know what's going on. It's Friday. I've been up since like 4:45 this morning. I don't even know what's happening. Welcome to the show. Don't know what's going on with my hair either. See, that's the fun of radio. Then you can watch the simulcast and be like, why is she not like cable newsified? Because it's a radio program and I just threw a half bun up. All right. So we got a lot of stuff to hit because there were some actions taken by Republicans in Washington. And I'm pleased with some of this. Whether they'll be successful, I mean, yeah, that's the $1 million question. So again, greetings, salutations, top of the first hour to ya Friday. Got Irish all of a sudden. Don't know why. And I am so supremely caffeinated. It is terrifying. I'm going to warn you right now. I don't even know how many quad shots of the Black Rifle coffee. All the blends, all of them. It's actually terrifying right now. So I'm just warning you. We're going to be everywhere. It's going to be like a screeching roller coaster of fun on Friday. All right. So you can watch, obviously, you can listen across the country. You can listen, you can stream it on YouTube and Facebook, and you can watch the simulcast on Channel 347 DirecTV. I remembered it without having to look at one. All right, so first and foremost, a couple things to hit. Two things, actually. Let me start with the credit thing. Because every now and then I'll have a topic that really hits with you guys, hits with you all. This was one. I mean, what were you all? Can I just ask? Hang on, let me pull this up. I really want to know what Teresa was doing at 3:30 in the morning earlier this week when she sent me an email to the info at Dana Radio going off about the credit. I can't believe Biden's doing it, because, you know, I was telling you the new decree from the Biden administration is that people that have good credit are going to be subsidizing the people with bad credit. Right. We're all mad about it. Teresa was, she's fit to be tied. It was literally like 3:20 something in the morning, because I looked. It was like one of the first. I'm like, oh, my gosh, legit straight up going off. I got so much, like, whether it was comments online, emails, whatever. Oh, my gosh. You guys are fired up about it. Well, understandably, because you don't have to be wealthy to get hit by this. You just have to have good credit. If you're responsible and you've done everything you're supposed to do, then the government's going, well, you know what? You get to pay more. You've proven that you get the reward of paying more. Yay! Tell them what prizes they win. They get to pay several thousand dollars more in fees. Yeah! No, that's not good. Meanwhile, we're all looking around at each other like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not good. We all work real hard to get where we are. I mean, this isn't generational wealth. Media Matters got so mad at me because I said there's no such thing as that. Guess what? There's not. It's a Marxist, it's a bunch of things that you fruitcakes made up. And half of you don't even, I mean, good grief. A lot of it sounds like it's envy, really, is what it is. But it's true. This idea of old money is like a ridiculous concept, particularly in the United States. If you disagree with me, then please, I encourage you to take the opportunity to read up on Tocqueville and the differences between Americans and the French post-revolution and the mindset about generational wealth. And also you can go and read some of the latest Forbes articles from as recently as like 2019, where they had a survey and they were looking at all of the wealthy people all across the country. And guess what? It's like the idea of generational wealth is a ridiculous concept, because the vast majority are 90 something percent are brand new, and a lot of it's tech. But to my point on credit, so we had this decree that was proposed that's put into effect by the Biden administration. But now, no. House Republicans are the power of the purse. Yep. And so they're intervening. The House Republicans are rolling out legislation to stop the new Biden administration regulation that, if implemented, will force lower risk mortgage borrowers to subsidize lower rates for high-risk borrowers. The vice chair of the Republican Main Street Caucus, Stephanie Bice of Oklahoma, said Wednesday that the president was enabling a culture of dependency, blasted the White House for levying these new regulations and skirting Congress to do it, which is true, because the House of Representatives controls the power of the purse. They control the budgeting. They control the tax. They control anything that has to do with money. Now, her bill is the Free Market Mortgage Act of 2023. It's going to repeal this policy that the FHFA intends to enact next month. So under that rule, people with credit scores in the neighborhood of and here's the other thing. We say the neighborhood because even this is arbitrary. So sidebar to this, I don't know if you guys, there's no fixed number in the rule. It's like, well, could be this, could be, I mean, it's entirely arbitrary. So, you know, if you pay, you know, depending on what your credit score is, you're going to pay a lot more per month to subsidize someone who's higher risk. And here you have the insanity on top of it of spending, government spending, massive inflation. We're in a recession. So these are all things that we have. And so the idea that they're going to push this at this time is just mind-boggling. Now, her bill is co-sponsored by at least six other Republican lawmakers, and I think as it goes, more and more are going to sign on to it. Now, I think all of the GOP in the House opposes this. The Senate does. There's no way in hell they're going to nix this. I really do think that this is something they might actually be able to convince some of the weaker senators to agree with them on and have it go past that. But then it would be, you know, if Biden tries to veto, et cetera. But this is after the letter from House Financial Services Committee, Patrick McHenry, he and the Housing and Insurance Subcommittee Chair Warren Davidson, they all were threatening action if the policy wasn't repealed. They said lenders are going to pass all this stuff on to borrowers. You're going to have higher mortgage rates, reduced access to credit. It also fails the basic test of fairness, they said, because you're punishing people who are responsible. And you're incentivizing people to reduce their payments and carry additional debt. This is moronic. It's like a policy that was dreamed up by no one who ever had to do their budget. I have two things that, I mean, tick me off, send me from zero to infinity in like less than 0.08 seconds. And the first are people who don't pick up their slack. Laziness, people who don't do what they got to do. The second thing is people doing stuff that they know nothing about, whether it's writing rules or regulations or proposing law or running their mouth on social. I cannot stand zealotry that masquerades as education. I cannot stand zealousness taking the place of actual knowledge. I cannot bear it. There are two things that I hate. And the third thing is glitter. So, which is totally irrelevant to the first two, but it's just, it's hard to get off. It's everywhere when you get it near you. Anyway, so my whole point in this is that they have this and sidebar also, any kind of flavor of Coca-Cola or Pepsi. Cannot stand like the chair. It all tastes like Tussin. It's horrible. Awful stuff. It's awful, horrible things. So anyway, back to my point. They're fighting this, and I'm pleased to see it. I'm incredibly pleased to see it. Okay, so here's the other thing that... Kane, can I just have a quick check? What year is it?
2023.
Okay, you're sure it is 2023. We do have a check on that. I mean, I'm looking at my, let me just check the date on my watch. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yes, 2023. Okay, I'm just double checking. The reason I ask this is because why in the hell is the Equality Act, why was that trending on social media? They were fighting over this since we were all, like, you know, not even here on Earth, most of us. Democrats have been trying to push this. So this is a piece from The Hill. Senate GOP blocks the Equal Rights Amendment. Again, they're trying to do this thing. They were talking about bringing this back up. When was this? Like, I don't know, like some years ago, they were talking about pushing this thing again. The ERA, that's the thing that Phyllis Schlafly, before the era of the internet, went around and actually like stopped in its tracks. So the senators voted 51 to 47 and vote cloture on a motion to proceed. They didn't even have the 60 votes needed. This is the Senate. They didn't even have the votes needed to go forward. This is the Senate. Not even the House. This is the Senate. So the Republicans to vote with the Democrats. Shocker, shocker. Alaska's Lisa Murkowski and Maine's Susan Collins. I know you guys are so shocked with us. You guys are totally shocked. Yeah, and I even had to check the date of the article. It's literally dated. It posted yesterday late afternoon. For real. Why are they? And it was trending even this morning on social media. So this thing was first, the ERA first passed 72, proposed in, you know, 23. They've been going forever on this. It has to be ratified, 3/4 of all state legislature, blah, 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 38 states, blah, 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 blah. So Schumer's been saying, oh, you know, after Roe v. Wade, we got to bring it back. Oh, we got to have it back. It's so dumb. The Equal Rights Amendment is a dumb piece of legislation. It's just, I don't have anything nice to say about it. It's nothing more than it's a redundancy and then also power grab and also ridiculous social experimentation. It's just insane. Democrats have been trying to push this over and over again, and now they're trying to use Roe v. Wade, which didn't really change much, except now you have states that can make determinations. But that's ultimately, here's the other thing. Here's my other big question. What was the purpose of the ERA? Like the simple stated purpose of the ERA. It was to establish equality between the sexes, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so that's all a myth now. That's what we were told. There's no such thing as binary. So this is irrelevant, is it not? You're talking about a party pushing the Equal Rights Amendment, a party that can't even define what a woman is. Why are we even having this conversation? Democrats killed this thing. They killed this bill. We're going to talk more about this. We have a lot, actually, to hit. Just let me know. Law and order. I don't even know how I'm going to read this headline. I put it on here before I thought about that. You know which one? Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to find some fun things to say instead of that actual headline. Because we'll have some people howl over it. Also, we have some headlines related to the environmental justice executive orders from the Biden administration. All these people, Corey DeAngelis and others, are bringing receipts. Randy Weingarten, this woman has no self-awareness. Nope. Lie after lie. Still going this morning. It's like she doesn't remember all. Like, we know the things she said because there's a video of it. I mean, for the love, they have like tweets where she's contradicting herself. We have all the latest with this, too. I have tons of wokery. Some 2A. Man, wait until you hear this development with regards to the Louisville killer.
Do you know what Joe Biden thinks is wacko? Republicans want to reduce spending from $60 trillion to $56 trillion over the next 10 years to reduce the debt ceiling. Although he voted for those same cuts as a senator from Delaware, while inflation is here to stay. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so U.S. adult cigarette smoking rate has hit an all-time low, a new all-time low. But here's the thing. What about vaping? Because I've been reading all of these surveys with it shows, or these studies showing vaping is like, it's as dangerous, but more so because of the expediency by which you can have serious health issues, like almost immediately with some of these teens that are doing it. But the Associated Press says that U.S. cigarette smoking dropped to another all-time low last year. 1 in 9 say they were current smokers, according to... I'm actually surprised when I see people smoke. Are you surprised if you see... It actually kind of surprises me. But anyway, so that's a new headline. Vince Vaughn, if I have been waiting for this since 2004, there's going to be a Dodgeball sequel. Yes, Vince Vaughn is going to appear in the sequel to his hit comedy, Dodgeball, The True Underdog Story. And apparently, 20th Century Fox is making it. Now, apparently, the script is still in process. I guess there's like revising, editing, whatever. Vince Vaughn, who is only 53 years old, I don't think he ages, he's going to reprise his role as Peter LaFleur. And I don't know if like Christine Taylor and Justin Long and Ben Stiller are going to be back. Rip Torn, obviously. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. He's, passed away. So I am very stoked about this. Of course, I'm going to go see it. Of course. Oh, let's see here. An Indiana bar went down with USS Wokery. They are now begging for regular customers because they decided that they were not going to get rid of Bud Light. And then after Bud Light sales plummeted, so did their customer base, apparently. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us because we're just going towards the second half of our first hour. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
We kind of shocked the radio staff when I requested this Billy Squire track for a very specific reason. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with us. I have to tell you, we were having this, we mentioned yesterday, how many videos is that Tucker Carlson thing got? How many has that got now?
Millions, you mean?
Yeah. Like he, something like that. Something to that effect. Yeah, he had 70 million, I think, views on his video. 74.1 million. And I was reading this piece about concerns with some of the emails or texts or whatever that he may or may not have sent. And it's so bad. He's just, oh my gosh. One of the accusations is that he described a woman as yummy. I'm sorry, what?
Crucify.
He called, he's a dude, straight dude, called a woman yummy, allegedly. So the reason you might be wondering what this has to do with my selection of the Billy Squire track to which we entered this radio segment was, you know, because some of the people who were talking about it happened to be over at a network that rhymes with CNN. Oh, wait, that is the network. Never mind. It's Friday. I mean, they had a guy who... I don't know how to describe this for those of you with very pure constitutions. I mean, they had a guy who, I mean, okay, he became a verb, Jeffrey Toobin. He pulled his pork on a Zoom call. I don't know how else to say it. He had self-care time on a Zoom call, and he was, like, caught on, I mean, he was on a Zoom call. On a Zoom call that happened, CNN. I had a friend who was a contributor at CNN who was benched because she talked about it on Twitter. She made mention of it. She condemned it. She got benched. Wow. That's okay. And that's redeemable. Tucker Carlson maybe or maybe not called someone yummy. Yummy?
No redemption for you.
For the love. That's not offensive. How is that offensive? I mean, how in the world is that offensive? Guys, Tucker Carlson referred to a woman as yummy. I mean, that's the most vanilla wafer thing I could ever think of. I don't know. Would women be that? That's not offensive. I mean, when I think of things that are yummy, you know what I think of? I think of Oreo cookies. I think of Sour Patch Kids. Those are actually yummy, delicious. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I don't know, that's not offensive. Tubing it on a Zoom call and then having CNN bring you back out like nothing happened, that's offensive, right? Getting benched because you made note that another talent at CNN was tubing it on a Zoom call, it's kind of offensive, you know what I'm saying? Snorting crack off hookers and then showing up at the White House Easter egg roll? Like, nothing happened. Praise Jesus, nothing happened. I mean, that's offensive. You know what I'm saying? There's never been any, like, redemptive moment for American voters. That's, you know, it's offensive. You know what I'm saying? That's offensive. So, I love the little neo-Puritan behaviors that the left suddenly adopts when they feel like they found a scrap of moral high ground. It's really funny. It's like watching toddlers discover skills, right? Yummy. Good grief. Yummy. He described a woman as yummy. Now here's Jeffrey Toobin. Jeff, you got your pants on?
The erection.
Oh my gosh, like what in the world? I mean, yummy. Close but no cigar, Bill Clinton. You know, I mean, for the love. Never,
it's
that's...
Normal
I mean,
men.
Never going to tire saying it. We're just innocent men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
It's my favorite ever. My favorite video ever. So I just had to mention that because I saw some of these people, you know, they're all aborting babies out in the streets and everything else. And then they go back on television and they act like they're just so proper. Oh my gosh, can you believe he had described a woman as yummy? Oh my gosh. By the way, what a week for the word yum.
I'm saying.
Right? Because we got Representative Troinels, who was yum yum, which is one of my also favorite sound bites ever. And he just like kept going. You know, when he was out there with yum yum and then Eric Swalwell gets mad. And then he says it again. He's like I said, he was out there with yum yum. Oh my gosh. Oh,
we run it back.
My second favorite.
You want to run it back?
Can we please run it back?
Guys, this is my favorite sound bite. I apologize that you had to. You're here for a hearing on the border. They don't want to talk about a border. Mr. Swalwell is down there. Obviously, everybody knows he's made some comments. He's got a checkered past. He's alleged relationships.
A checkered past?
Alleged,
I would ask.
It's my time.
Mr.
Alleged affairs relationships
past?
With
Yum Yum. No,
Yum
Yum. You don't get to say that. That's not
true. He had alleged relationships with Yum Yum.
Yes, the gentleman's words were taken down.
You don't get to say that.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that has salved my Friday soul. I'm telling you what. I wish that we had awards to give out because I want to give him an award for that. like a little cup, a little Champions Cup or something. Like we gotta figure that out.
We'll have them on next week.
Yeah. They saw the. I guess that we were talking about it because it was just that is one of my favorite sound bites of the year. Because he just says, you know, with yum yum, say louder, and Swabble's losing his mind. Oh, all right. So I got a coat because I told you I was gonna make it a little lighter today, but we still got to get to some other stuff, which we will. Can we talk for a moment about why that dude is still talking? Dylan Mulvaney says that he feels like it should be illegal to refer to him using the he, her pronouns. This is audio soundbite 17.
Like the articles written about me using he pronouns and calling me a man over and over again. And I feel like that should be illegal. I don't know. Like that's just bad journalism.
I also feel like you wear that Tiffany necklace too much, but you feel like it should be illegal? Yeah, I mean, people can't say things that you dislike. So wait, should I feel like it should be illegal if you disagree with me?
Right.
I mean, just, you know, I feel like that. Yeah. You know what else I feel like? I feel like if you think Green Day is punk, I should be able to arrest you.
That's right.
Right? Or if I feel like if you think that St. Louis doesn't have the best barbecue, I feel like that should be illegal too. Mm-hmm.
That'll usher in a whole feelings enforcement.
Mm-hmm. You know, division. one more thing. I feel like if you don't like David Lee Roth over Sammy Hagar, I'm ducking. I feel like that should be a misdemeanor.
I know we're on in St. Louis.
I know. Shh. Don't tell the people in our hometown.
Just saying.
Never got in more hate mail than that. Like, was it 7 years ago? I mean, the calls, they acted like I took Fred Bird and beat him in the street. I mean, it was horrible. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Anyway, but you guys see my point. He just feels like it should be illegal. I'm so glad that we don't make laws based upon Dylan Mulvaney's feelings or mine. I'm actually really glad that we don't make laws based on my feelings because, God, I wouldn't want to live under my laws. I wouldn't want to. My gosh. I mean, it just, there's no way. Now, there we have wokery and then we have some anti-wokery. So we have North Dakota moving to limit. I can't even believe. I'm happy, but at the same time, I can't believe I'm saying these words with my mouth. North Dakota limits bathroom use for transgender people. First off, no one's limiting your... Can we just stop for a moment and break down this headline? This is from CBS. Now, if you were to accept this headline from CBS on face value, what does it sound like to you? CBS is saying that North Dakota is physically blocking transgender people from relieving themselves. Can you believe it? There aren't limits. They have no they can go to the bathroom as often and as much as they want to in the bathroom that corresponds with their biological sex. I don't have any problem with that. I don't, because I think that women's spaces particularly that should be respected, and women's spaces should be, there's a, you know, you have as someone had explained this, there's this British woman, and you know, I don't know what I think about protected classes, even as, you know, women. I go back and forth on certain things. But obviously, dudes are stronger than females are. We have a history of statistics, you know, about, I mean, if you're looking at, and I love my dudes. I love y'all. But I mean, you know, there's some criminals, you know, and that have preyed upon women. And there's a statistical background to that. You know, not everybody can be like you all are. And there's a reason why we have certain things in place, and whenever women are feel uncomfortable, they're told they're bigots. If men who want to cosplay as women feel uncomfortable, they're accommodated. That there's an unfair practice there, and it's an unfair accommodation and an unfair promotion of one group over another before the law, which is itself unconstitutional. That's antithetical to everything in this republic. So the story is that North Dakota is saying, look, trans kids who want to switch sexes, adults who want to switch sexes, you have to use your bathrooms, locker rooms, and showers that match, you know, that's, you have to match your biological, your sex. It was signed into office. The measure passed both the House and Senate veto-proof majorities. So they have to match the gender that, you know, you can't have guys because this has happened before. There have been stories where guys will go and work out, and there are guys who are, who identify as women, but they don't want to dress up as women and go to the gym or something. And so they'll go into the women's locker room as a dude, you know, 5 o'clock shadow and Beans and Frank, the whole nine yards, and, or three, and they go into the locker room and women are understandably freaked out. I mean, if that were to happen in any other kind of context, it would not be allowed, but it's somehow allowable there. There's no reason why women shouldn't feel safe in these spaces. So they said that restrooms and shower rooms are going to be designated for use exclusively by males or exclusively by females. Transgender or gender nonconforming people will need to get approval from a staff member, you know, whatever, to use. And a lot of this isn't even about making sure that, you know, you feel comfortable in the bathroom. There are so many stories of schools. Like, there was, like, a few years ago, a huge lawsuit. A student who was offered the use of faculty bathrooms, special for them bathrooms, all the faculty bathrooms that they wanted to use. It was a boy who identified as a girl, wanted to use the female restrooms. Having the faculty bathroom wasn't enough. He had to whip it out and urinate there with the girls. And they took that. That was a major lawsuit for the school that they had to deal with because of that. And other parents and the girls did not feel comfortable with that. But they were told, shut up, bigot. We have to accommodate this boy.
On this vote, the yeas are 51, the nays are 47.
And that's what, it's like, that was, where's that guy coming from? All right, we have more on the way, including coming up, mass murderers demand action. The parents of the Louisville Bank murderer are basically blaming the Second Amendment. Not basically, they are. I mean, it was performative gun control theater. The manifesto that this killer had said that they did it literally to show how easy it was for them to get a gun and how, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So now you have gun controllers mass executing people and for the name of gun control. We're going to discuss this because the parents gave an interview. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation and astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
I live in New Orleans in the House District 97 and Senate District 4. Thank you all for letting me speak. I believe we are all here for the same reason, which is to make schools a safe place for students and for faculty to thrive. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to share this space with you. But like I said, I am Maxwell. I am trans. I am big gay baby. My pronouns are they, them. What are yours? I'm here to ask you to vote no on HB 466. Speaking before you today is a 27-year-old drag artist that lives every day to secure kindness, validation, love, and acceptance for the wounded child that still feels closeted inside me.
Like, literally? I don't know. It's so awkward. Sidebar, though, Big Gay Baby is a punk band name. That's a punk band name right there. Like, I'm already trying to figure out the album name and, you know, all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, Big Gay Baby. Oh my gosh. What in the, well, is he like a big gay baby juggalo? Like, I don't understand. Cause he had like the ICP kind of makeup, but then he had the Blue Man Group face for the video. So this was a committee, Louisiana House Education Committee. They moved a bill out of committee to make it illegal for teachers to hide a child's gender transition from parents. And Big Gay Baby came. I mean, literally, that is not parody. That was not someone who was trolling them. That was an actual person who is like, I identify as a big gay baby. So he doesn't just identify as a woman. He identifies as like a big gay baby woman? Big gay baby girl? What is this?
Stop trying. Stop trying.
Please make this make sense. Like he's gay, or he identifies as a woman and then the woman is gay. What?
All I got was big out of all that. That's the only consistent thread through the whole thing.
It's like the worst wig ever.
Big.
And it's so poorly put on. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. But this is why, you know, we've literally had, for the second time in 50 years, UFO hearings. The government came out and said, looked at all the news and said, this is the good time to say that UFOs are real. No one's going to pay attention. Because you have people like Big Gay Baby out there doing Big Gay Baby stuff, whatever that is. I don't even know. What is that? I don't know. Oh my gosh. We're smart. Second hour is on the way. You don't want to miss. We got a lot of stuff to hit. The latest happenings in D.C., the Bidens, mass murderers demand action, and more. Stick with us. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Schools to be open
no.
until September of 2021.
We were pressing for schools to be open from April of 2020. We didn't know how to do it. Our first report pressed for schools to be open. We knew schools needed to be open. My first op-ed with John King in April 2020 talked about how we needed to have summer school. I worked with then Governor Cuomo about reopening schools in New York State. And what New York State did is they had a trigger that said anytime that schools were less than 5%.
Okay, I cannot. I cannot with her. I'm trying so hard. Randy Weingarten, America Federation of Teachers, trying to rewrite history on what actually went down with the whole closing and reopening of schools. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour, Dana Lash with you. This weird April. It's getting ready for all hail, H-A-I-L, to break loose, literally like actual hail in Texas. I wasn't being cute. And I love watching the weather. So I've just got, because we've been on air before when we've had really crazy hail and people heard it on air. It was that, like, almost like baseball. It was crazy. So we're just, you know, keeping an eye on stuff, you know. All right. So, again, you can listen across the country. You can stream the show where you can stream any radio program. And you can also watch the simulcast of the radio show on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV also. So Randy Weingarten has been really working hard to rewrite history. The problem is that when you make parents mad, about their children and you hurt their kids, they don't forget that ever. And they aren't letting her forget this. There are so many receipts out there. I mean, there's a lot of people have kept. I mean, I have headlines that I've saved. I'm actually putting that in a separate post. I was going to put it in your email prep, but it actually made it so long. I was afraid that it wasn't actually going to send. So I'm putting that in a separate thing to send out to you all, to subscribers, to Chapter and Verse over at Substack, because I didn't realize actually that I had that much. And I had a lot, and other people have even more than I do with video and tweets that she, I think, tried to delete and all this. So, for instance, this was in, you had, when Randy Weingarten was, she was telling Congress that she really wanted, she was trying so hard to reopen schools, you guys. She was trying so hard, little Randy. Yeah, the community notes even fact-checked her on Twitter. They have been trying so hard. She said she was trying so hard to open it, except, like, for instance, a headline from The Gothamist. Teachers Union advises the city to shut down 80 public schools. She, and this is a Twitchy has some too. She attacked, and so in 2020, she went off on schools in Georgia. She said she blamed them for death, saying that Georgia has had a terrible opening and its highest, this is her direct quote, Georgia has had a terrible school opening and its highest death toll today. Will its governor ever learn that COVID is serious? And she went on criticizing the reopening of their school. She went off on Florida. She had retweeted a story about Florida schools reopening, saying, quote, states of Georgia and Florida have the highest COVID deaths today, and yet still they are in denial. She kept going on and on and on. And then pulling this up, when Andrew Cuomo was still governor, this was September 30th of 2020. She was praising him on social media because he was vowing to shut down schools. Particularly, he was really looking at schools in Jewish communities in Brooklyn, Orange, and Rockland counties. And he was saying New Yorkers got to come together to stamp out the spread, et cetera, et cetera. And remember the task force that he came up with where they were actually, there's video of them actually peeking in windows of synagogues, making sure there's not anybody doing anything temple-y in there and nothing in the synagogue happening in the Jewish community. He's got to make sure everybody's at home, locked down, and no one's learning, no one's worshiping, no one's doing anything, no one's having any kind of fellowship with their community. And she was... She restated the headline that included him shutting down schools and shutting down and peeking in on synagogues. And she goes, she retweets it and says, as well he should. This was, again, September 30th, 2020. She writes, quote, as well he should. Hashtag Cuomo reads riot act on coronavirus as test rates soar over 5% in Brooklyn and upstate clusters. On and on and on. When he said that she retweeted another piece. Again in 2020, talking about Cuomo keeping schools shut. She says, quote, this is the way to aggressively stop hashtag COVID spread. When the Trump administration at the time said that they were talking with the CDC to actually illustrate the really compared to what the media was saying, and by comparison, insignificant amount of danger posed to children without comorbidities, which was absolutely true. She, as a way to talk about reopening schools, she immediately was out there. More than 624,000 American children have been affected with COVID-19, hashtag COVID-19. Yet the administration is pressuring CDC into misleading guidance, et cetera, et cetera. When there was a survey that came out, not a survey, actually, it was a study where they were monitoring. It was one of the first to come out, and it was later on in 2020 showing that schools actually weren't hotspots, that actually it was grocery stores, which was weird, that were more of a hotspot than anything else, and schools didn't even count as anything, and that if there were any infections in the school, it wasn't with kids, it was with adults who had, you know, just contracted it out, I guess, on their personal time. And she was slamming the study, false science, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, there's so much here. Really trying to rewrite history on exactly what she had done. And one of the, and this is very interesting too, there was a doctor that was behind the study that teachers' unions had been citing as a way to argue that schools should remain closed for all of that. Sam Janney has this piece, and it's Dr. Tracy Hoag, who's a medical doctor, said that Weingarten mentioned our Wisconsin study in her congressional testimony. She tweeted this 2 days ago. She said, today in her congressional testimony, Weingarten mentioned our Wisconsin study. It multiple times as evidence that schools needed layered mitigation to reopen. She also mentioned me in her written testimony. She said this statement and her interpretation of our study are incorrect. She blasted her. She says, I was the senior author of this study. And as we said in our paper, we had no control group. It was not possible to determine the specific roles that mask wearing and other disease mitigation strategies played in the low rate of disease spread. So not only did Randy Weingarten lie about the study, she misquoted it on purpose. She's lying about it. And this doctor, who was, again, the senior author of this study, dragged her. She says, in other words, she tweeted this, because we had no unmasked control group, our study did not show that masks prevented transmission. It amazes me. This is so difficult for people to understand. The rate of transmission may have been the same or even lower without masks. Who knows? She went into Sweden's experience. Norway's experience, which reopened after 6 weeks, didn't mask kids. In Sweden, she said no primary school closures, no masks for 12 years and up. She said spring, summer of 2020 was a good indication masks were not necessary. And she said that, under 12 years. She said that the CDC and AFT also could have asked us study authors about things like eating lunch indoors, distancing, and ventilation in our Wisconsin study. Remember the pictures of the kids outside in New York freezing to death, eating their lunches with their mittens on? I am trying to think, at least 11 or 12 of my friends left New York after that alone with their kids. They left in all of them except for two. One came to Texas, one went to Nashville, and then everybody else went to Florida. They left. They're like, our kids are eating out. It's 30 degrees. Our kids are legit eating outside. My kid's trying to eat a pudding cup outside with mittens. So this doctor dragged Weingarten because Weingarten was lying. And in fact, Weingarten invoked this doctor's name in her testimony. She's like, one might have thought that I was being consulted, but this was not the case. And she said, the first time that I met her, I voiced my disagreement about masking kids in schools all along. Whew. They lied. They lied to you. Man. And she keeps, all this morning, she's been keeping trying to rewrite this. Unbelievable. I mean, it is believable, but it's so sad. This is just sad and sick. But the receipts are there. Now, a few other things to hit with Biden's and Democrats. Did you guys know that apparently, how many members of the Biden family are living in the White House?
Three.
Well, you would think
two.
The president and the first lady, right?
Two.
Okay, apparently no. There's more.
What?
Yeah, so apparently Hunter Biden, he's like rumored to be going back and forth between this billionaire's property and the White House. So he's like partially, apparently, reportedly living at the White House so he doesn't get served with legal papers.
Wow.
Over the child that he fathered and refuses to care for and the Bidens refuse to acknowledge. And the president's granddaughter and her fiance lived there. I think they've moved out though, but Vogue reported. They did a whole fashion spread. Naomi and her then fiance, I paid her nail. They did this whole, they had this whole fashion spread. They got married at the White House. I don't mind if couples, if you know, the White House family, the president's family, if they get married at the White House, that's actually with Republicans and Democrats, that is not unusual. But living there, like grown people, you're married, living there for a little while, that's kind of weird, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's weird. She said that they lived at the White House. They lived there according to people familiar with their situation. Presidential historian Tevi Troy told the Washington Free Beacon, who has the story, that Biden having adult children and other relatives living in the White House is not normal. He said it's not entirely unheard of, but it's not normal. The reason being is that he has like all of his family, like granddaughters and that. I think the Barack Obama's mother-in-law stayed there. And that's, to me, I don't think that's a big deal because the grandma was helping with the kids. When they moved in, their girls were really young. Their girls were still in elementary school. So they were there so that, because the First Lady was doing duties, President does duties, the grandmother wanted to be there. They, even though they had Secret Service, they still needed a family member to help the girls feel comfortable. I get that. But to have your granddaughter, the granddaughter's boyfriend, your coked out son, I mean, who else is going in and out there? Apparently, I mean, they said that his relatives are living there, you know, for convenience. Naomi Biden, his Hunter Biden's oldest kid, told Vogue that she and her fiance moved there because their lease ran out. And so they said that they had their living quarters on the third floor of the White House. So wait a minute, I'm and then Hunter Biden living there. What? So I guess he would be there with his wife and kids, because it can't just be him. He's married and he's got a baby, the one that he acknowledges. So I'm really curious, like, because they have a chef, they have security. How much money extra are we paying to feed all these people? Right? I think that's a fair thing to ask, because they have a chef. They have their the president has their meals always prepared. I'm just wondering about these living arrangements. Can you imagine if any, I know it feels almost redundant and ridiculous to say, can you imagine if a Republican XYZ, but can you though? Now we're not done here. We got more. We have headlines coming up too, but also the environmental justice executive orders, what this is going to mean. And Nikki Haley's trying real hard to shift this narrative.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I wanted to make sure I got this headline in as well. This from earlier today. Three soldiers killed, one injured in mid-air Army helicopter collision. Two U.S. Army helicopters collided and crashed Thursday in Alaska after returning from a training flight, killing three soldiers and injuring a fourth. Two of them passed at the scene of the crash near Healy, Alaska, a third on the way to the hospital in Fairbanks, according to the Army in a statement. The fourth is being treated at the hospital for injuries. Names of those who were killed are being withheld, obviously, until relatives can be notified, according to the Army. Also, no one can say, this is an interesting story, our friend Larry sent this in from 8 News Now. No one can say what specific hazardous materials trains are carrying through Las Vegas. So about 1,200 miles of train tracks run through Nevada, but the railroad company and the Federal Railroad Administration, nor any agency, could tell the local news there what specific hazardous materials the trains, some traveling right through Vegas, are carrying. And this comes after concerns about, you know, the crash or the derailment following the Norfolk Southern Railway. And apparently no one had any answers from local media there, so that's now turning into a really big story. Now other cities are following in suit. Florida House passes a bill cracking down on teachers unions that's being sent to Governor DeSantis. They approved a measure this week that reins in public sector unions in the state by changing how dues and fees are collected and limiting where public sector unions can promote their efforts. There were a lot of teachers who actually were supporting this as well because they didn't like the leadership, i.e. Weingarten. We have a lot more on the way, including some law and order. We're also going to get into some of the latest in D.C., wokery, a lot more. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Anything that has been there for a long time about Holocaust, they tried to say that Florida wasn't going to allow a book about Jackie Robinson or Hank Aaron. And actually, our Department of Education made that the book of the week. Don't believe if someone's bringing those narratives, though, identify the stuff that the parents have actually objected to and ask them to justify why that should be in. I think the reason that you're seeing some of the fake narratives is because they know on the merits they will lose, because no parent wants that stuff in the school. So they got to act like that there's some type of an initiative to get educational things out, which is just ridiculous. And in fact, you know, we've beefed up Holocaust education standards. We have had teachers in Florida fired for denying the Holocaust.
First off, welcome back to the program. Dana, I'll share it with you. Bottom of the second hour. That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He was laying to waste a lot of the false lies that have been out about the legislation. And I told you yesterday, and I have put that in prep emails from this week. I told you yesterday how, ultimately, when you look at who voted how in Florida and what they were voting for, what the candidates were running on. Candidates were running on stepping up for parents in these schools. And the focus, the media wants you to think that the focus is on the material. The focus, only in part, it's age appropriateness is what the focus is on. I mean, there are certain books that I think are fine for high schoolers to read, but are inappropriate for, you know, elementary school kids. Just like, you know, there's you could apply that to a number of things. And there are some things that are just entirely inappropriate to present in a school setting. And the books that have been discussed are those books that offer the ratio of academic value compared to just the shock and the, I mean, for the lack of a better way to put it, just the smut is, I mean, it's not defensible. It's not something that should be, I mean, so much of it is just absolutely inappropriate. Now, it's weird to hear about this banning argument from people who thought that Dr. Seuss was too much. Oh, we got it. The difference is that they actually banned books. They banned, like, removed entirely books that were, had nothing to do with, you know, whether it was an issue of age appropriateness. They just fell outside of their progressive value system. And whether it was Mark Twain, etc. There were a number of books that they actually wanted. It wasn't about securing parental consent. It was about removing it. They weren't even going to give parents the opportunity to consent or not. They're just taking them out of the equation altogether, which is entirely different from what this bill is doing. It asked parents, if you're going to be introducing any kind of sexual material in the classroom, parents, A, have to be notified. They have to acknowledge it. They have to consent to this. And I thought the left was all about informed consent, but I guess only when it's convenient for them. There's so much that was just absolutely, just so many lies about this. So many lies about this. And I'm glad that the record is being set straight. But it's just to see people lie so willingly. And then, like, who was it? Who was that? Was it Dwayne Wade who said, oh, I got to leave because he's raising his son to identify as a girl, and then the ex-wife is upset over it because she is against it, and Dwayne Wade is raising his son up to be a girl, identify as a woman, and he was saying, oh, we have to leave Florida because we don't feel welcome here. That's in your mind, then. That is you creating that narrative for yourself. I mean, have you ever been to Florida? Good grief. Have you ever been to Miami? Ever been to South Beach? Good for the heaven. I mean, come on. That's just a silly thing to say. I mean, and it's you're mad because you can't force your view on sex onto other people's kids in the classroom under the excuse that it's academic, because that's the argument. That's what people are missing. So when celebrities like Dwayne Wade and others, oh, we don't feel welcome here. We're gonna leave. Based on what? Again, have they ever been to South Beach? Have they ever? This is about parental consent. If you don't have kids in the classroom, I don't even see how this affects you. If you have no kids in the classroom, your kids aren't learning the subject material, you're not learning then I don't even see how the option that the parents of kids in classrooms wanting consent for the age appropriateness of materials introduced to these kids inside classroom, how does that even affect you? They're not your kids, but you have all these adults, including Disney people, that wanted to weigh in and tell you how to parent your kids. No, that's not how this works. That is not at all how this works. It's so just wild that that's the hill that the left wants to politically die on. That. You know, like with all the drag stuff. Drag, adults go to drag. What was it? There was a Republican politician or a couple of them that the left thought, oh, look, you went to drag shows. Oh, you've been to a drag show before. We're going to disqualify you from having conversation on this. It wasn't, but they weren't taking kids and having dudes shake their thing in front of kids. I mean, when you're talking about adults that are making determinations about what they think is appropriate for them to attend or go to or whatever, regardless if you agree with it. I mean, they're free-minded individual adults, different from kids who got parents. There's a difference. Age appropriateness. Now age appropriateness is taboo. And instead of having the discussion about what is or is not age appropriate, it's because they would look incredibly petty and immature if that if people acknowledge what the discussion was really about. They have to make it like, oh, well, you're excluding a group of people. No one's being excluded. This is about age appropriateness. Where in the hell do you get that this is about someone being excluded? Shut up. These people want to lie and they want to impugn your character and your moral fiber simply because you're speaking up over age appropriateness. And then it makes me question their morality and motivation. Hmm. If you don't want to be called a groomer, don't act like one. I don't know how else to put it to you. In Kansas, I had this. This was a headline that I sent out to you yesterday or this morning. In Kansas, they actually passed a bill defining the word woman. That we actually have to do that now. And they had to override a veto. And it was the sole Democrat, Representative Robinson, who voted in favor of protecting women. Kudos to him for that. Because you know he's going to be taking some heat. They're probably already looking how they can primary him. That's the way Democrats are. You one misstep, no grace for you. They're going to primary you. But we had to, it didn't even create anything. It didn't even create a singular new law. It didn't even stop any law from being made. It just said woman is something that is, there's some clarity with law across the board. They actually had to define man and woman in statute. Everyone's like, they're excluding trans. No one's excluded. You're not excluded. But you can't sit here and borrow the rights of, I mean, essentially, they treat women are treated like a protected class. And you have a group of dudes who want to borrow the rights of a protected class, claim them for themselves. It's like progressivism almost eating itself in a way. But that's what they you have dudes who want to borrow the rights of a protected class and apply it to themselves while at the same time excluding the class of individuals from whose rights they are appropriating. That's actual appropriation if you want to have that discussion. But I can't believe we live in an era where you have to pass a bill to define that. Now, looking at Biden and Democrats in the administration, because we've got some law and order to get into as well. This piece, ex-White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain, from, this is in your newsletter, is blaming sexism and racism for Kamala Harris's unpopularity. Okay. Now, just to reiterate, she was supremely unpopular with her own base during the primary. She was supremely unpopular with her own base while still being just in California as an AG and then a senator. She was incredibly unpopular. Democrats did not like her. She ranked at the bottom during the primaries. She was at the bottom. Despite the fact that she had the Obama team behind her, pushing her, promoting her. So is it Democrats that are, because those are the people who didn't make her presidency happen? Why is it, sexism or racism have nothing to do with her inability to actually be able to A, formulate policy, B, articulate policy, and C, stop with the division. I mean, it's just silly. Any excuse, though. Identity politics is such a useful tool. You can make up identities and appropriate rights and write yourself passes all day long. All day long. Man alive. Now, with law and order. We are supposed to, at some point, the Nashville Killers Manifesto. Apparently, it's being reviewed for public release, if you've all heard about this. It hasn't been released yet, and some are worried about the implications of that, like what that's, you know, it makes me wonder what's in there. If they're so worried about it, what's in there? But they said that the murderer's manifesto, they're preparing to release written material. It doesn't seem like they're going to release everything. It just seems like, according to WKRN, that they're only going to release some material from the killer. They said that even though the word manifesto was used in the days after the tragedy, Metro Police spokesperson said that Channel 2 told Channel 2 that the writings were essentially dated journals. They said they're just really writings or journals. It's not one singular manifesto, not like what we saw in the Louisville tragedy, because that individual, who was a gun control advocate, wrote a manifesto stating that they were explicitly carrying out this horrific crime to, as an example, to show how easy it was for them to get a gun and kill people. So you have someone who was a gun control activist carrying out mass murder as performative activism. And that, I mean, that's what mass murderers demand action. That individual, their parents gave an interview where they were talking about this and saying that they want to ban, they think that these guns should be banned. The parents of the killer said to NBC's Today Show, that was this week, they said that they knew that their killer offspring was dealing with mental health issues. They said that they're afraid that whatever they come up with as the cause isn't going to make sense. They said that they had no idea that he could have done that. He had the capability of doing something like this. They said that, you know, they had no idea at all whatsoever. They talked about the mental health struggles. And I mean, they knew that he was having a hard time because there were texts. They had reached out. They told the Today Show that they reached out and were saying, we're here to help you, etc. And that, I mean, they used the word crisis to describe the stuff that he was going through. And now they're like, oh, well, he absolutely should not have been able to get his rifle legally because he purchased it legally. And the parents are like, yeah, he absolutely should not have been able to do that. They said that they think the overwhelming majority of Americans don't want people in an impaired state to have a weapon in their hand. That was their direct quote. Now, they said they don't have specific policy solutions in mind. But here's the thing. They said, well, we have to fix this. Okay, if you're going to try to put the responsibility on law-abiding Americans to fix this, let me add this question, because apparently that's not considered heartless to blame people who have nothing to do with it. But it is heartless, apparently, to ask why the people who were involved in the killer's absolute everyday circle of life, who knew that this individual was going through, their words, a crisis. That's what they used. They used that word several times in this interview. Why didn't you have him adjudicated ineligible? Because, see, that is fixing it. That is doing something. He never would have been able to legally purchase his rifle had he been adjudicated ineligible. I mean, how do you sit here and go, well, there was no sign, and then in one sentence, and then literally in the next sentence go, well, we knew he was going through a crisis. Those are their words. How in the world do you reconcile those two things? You don't. We have Florida Man on the way. We're going to come back to this because there's more.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So first up, this is from Charlotte Observer. A motorist who was fleeing a deputy drove his pickup into a Florida river and floated away, cops say. He led police on a high-speed chase, drove a truck into a Florida river, and as pursuers watched from the shore, he drifted away, according to the Dixie County Sheriff's Office. Now, it proved that, well, the maneuver ended the chase, but pickups don't float. The vehicle drifted downstream, got stuck on a branch, and then began to sink. And this was just on the 25th, and the deputy was pursuing a man wanting a connection with a structure fire. So they ended up, the investigators didn't say how far the truck floated, but it vanished below the surface. Only the tailgate and corner of the roof was visible. The driver jumped out, made his way to shore, and he was promptly arrested. There you go. So that didn't work for him. He's not, I can't believe it that he actually thought that was going to work, but okay. A Florida man, he had his rental car impounded, and then he decided to steal it back. Florida Keys deputies arrested two men accused of breaking into an impound lot to steal back a car that they rented that was towed away from a Key West business. The two individuals, now these are Boston men trying to make shenanigans in Florida. They were released from Monroe County Jail. They had a post $40,000 bond for each of them. Neither could be reached for comment. Stick with us. We got our third hour of this Friday on the way. Back after this in just minutes.
But my God, this is a party that says we believe in parents' rights. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that as a parent, I'm not smart enough to decide if my child and I need to have gender affirming. Our doctors are not involved. I can't decide what my kid reads. I can't decide for my child what my child says is going on.
Yep.
You're telling me your beliefs, your, and they keep saying it, and I keep saying, what Bible are you reading?
Yeah.
Because God was really clear.
Very clear. This area. Oh, well, I was just going to say really quick.
I don't want to hear Nepo Baby. It's just irrelevant. On what? Like, what is she talking about? God says, hey, you know what? I guess messed up. Should have been a chick. Go ahead and chop off your willy. I mean, is that what she's talking about? Because that's, no. Welcome back. Even the devil can cite scripture. Welcome back. Dana Lash here, top of the third hour with you. That was Whoopi Goldberg from The View. The problem is that you can't decide for other people's kids. And also, it's not informed consent. You're not deciding for your kids because this isn't informed consent. You're going along with accepted propaganda as a narrative. That's what that is. You're not going along with any kind. You're not going along with science. You're not going along with anything. And there are limitations to what you can go along with anyway. I mean, you know, you can't take your kid to a strip club. Are you going to get upset over that? You can't take your minor child into a strip club. Hell, you can't even have your minor go see an R-rated movie. You can't have your child go. I mean, back in the day when I was in college, I worked in a record store. CDs. And there were kids who we had to ask for their ID if they were going to buy something that had, you know, the censorship awareness of explicit lyrics. Thanks, Tipper Gore, Democrats. I mean, what are you talking about? There's all kinds of limitations. You can't go your kid can't get their ears pierced unless they have parental approval. But I mean, that's, what is she talking about? You can't make the decision for other people's kids. No one's saying that you can't. If you want to, you know, expose your children to inappropriate sexual propaganda or whatever, you know, you can do that on your own time, I guess. If you want to be a crap parent, go ahead and do that on your own time. But you don't get to make that decision for everyone else's kids in public schools. And that's what this all comes down to. I mean, that seems to be missing from her amazing deduction skills there, as you just heard in the audio soundbite that we played. Golly, not a single golly. It's just all the same stuff with them. Oh, the Bible says, sure, go ahead and find that. Go on. I mean, don't turn into a pillar of salt, but go ahead. Go on. Now, a couple of other things I want to make sure that we had this discussion a little earlier before we went to break. In the last hour, as it relates to Law and Order, we were talking about the Louisville, the bank, the national, the bank killer, and how the parents of the killer did an interview with the Today Show on NBC. And they were saying they said that they do not believe that their son should have been able to legally buy his rifle. And in the interview that they gave, they said that they simultaneously said two conflicting things, that there was absolutely no tell, that was their direct quote, and then also simultaneously that he has gone through crises, that mental health, he was going through a mental health crisis. The mother had literally said there was no clear tell, and then had also said that, well, we were concerned because he had been going through a difficult time. He had been going through, you know, previously gone through a crisis. That was the word that they had used, crisis. So I'm not quite sure how you reconcile those two things. Now, the father had said that they want to stimulate conversation around how their son apparently was able to legally purchase his rifle. And added that he believed that the, quote, overwhelming majority of people don't want people in an impaired state to have a weapon in their hand. That was his direct quote. But, you know, the first people who have to want that are you. And the people in their immediate circle. I mean, how do you go from there wasn't a clear sign to, or how do you go from, oh my gosh, our adult son's in a crisis to, well, there wasn't a clear tell. How do you go from one to the other? I mean, to me, that doesn't make sense. What level of engagement was there that you weren't able to tell? I mean, if you think that people don't want someone who is going to be a danger to themselves or others to have a weapon in their hand, then why don't you do something about it? You do something about it. And there are so many options at your disposal without having to have red flag laws. I mean, good heavens. But that never comes up in this conversation. Like the mother had said, you know, it's happening to other people like us and we're continuing to let it happen and we have to fix that. And they added, well, well-meaning people say to us, you know, you did what any reasonable parents would have done. I was always told in this conversation, whenever something like this would happen, like after Parkland, after Sandy Hook, I was criticizing the family of the killer in Sandy Hook. And that was just beyond, that was out of bounds to gun control activists who had no problem blaming people that they had never met, who've never committed a single crime in their lives for tragedy. But heaven forbid you ask where the people are in that individual's immediate circle. Why didn't they act? You're not allowed to ask that. You're not allowed to discuss it. You're not allowed to ask the question. But yet, you know, at the same time, you're supposed to be responsible for when tragedies take place. But in all of this, you know, at no point did Savannah Guthrie at NBC press back on these parents and go, well, then why didn't you do something? Okay, you just mentioned that your son had been in a crisis. How do you go from crisis to there was no tell? I mean, that's just crappy interviewing. That's just a bad interviewer. What are you daydreaming while you're having the Q&A? Like, what are you doing? You're not engaged? How do you not follow up with those questions? That's just bad journalism. It's bad interviewing. Some people are just bad at interviews. How do you not follow up with that? How do you not say, well, why didn't you, did you move to try to explore adjudication of ineligibility? Did you have a protective order filed? I mean, there are a million things to, a handful, I mean, really, there's a lot of stuff they can do. Why didn't they do any of it? Why does everyone else have to pay because you didn't act? You know, I look at Washington State. They passed a ban on like pretty much almost every kind of semi-automatic rifle. It was a weird ban, though, because the governor signed it. Inslee signed it into law. It's weird because police are exempted and existing firearm owners are grandfathered in. And they're targeting the rifle. The latest publicly available crime report numbers are from 2019. And they show that, once again, the sorts of rifles that people are talking about banning are responsible for the fewest homicides. They're involved in the fewest crimes annually. And knives, actually, are double that. Knives are double what the rifles that they want to ban. In 2019, again, the last available, they're always a couple of years behind when they come out with this data. And in Washington, you know, you have a crime spike. Seattle has a 15-year record crime rate. It's a record crime rate. It hadn't been this high in 15 years. And most of it, especially when it relates to firearm homicide, is with handguns. So that doesn't make sense in the state of Washington. And I don't really think that that's going to pass muster either, because there are a number of organizations that are looking to contest that and have already filed suit against it, because it doesn't, you're talking about commonly owned things, which have been affirmed in Heller and Bruin, which was the New York Rifle and Pistol Association. You have that whole case. You have these instances of common ownership, which are already affirmed in previous Supreme Court cases, that's just not going to pass the test. So it'll be interesting to watch what happens with that. But 26 states are permitless carry, and you always hear the argument that, well, it's you can't do that because it's going to be Wild West. It's never has been Wild West. It's never been that. Not in any state that has permitless carry does it turn into Wild West. Now, in cities that are Democrat-run where they try to locally implement gun control, yeah, you have those instances. Never forget that the Nashville murderer had targeted specifically, was looking at a number of different schools and picked the Christian school that they picked because of the security. The security was more lax. But heaven forbid, don't have a conversation about hardening soft targets. Don't have that conversation. Can't do that. We're supposed to get that manifesto at some point. I'm not quite sure how. Well, I mean, we'll see. But yeah. Now, in some wokery, speaking of Washington, a Washington school district has canceled music lessons to fight white supremacy. All the racism just went away. Mm-hmm. The Olympia School District, they said, provides diverse and challenging learning opportunities for the 10,000 students with the staff of administrators and teachers and blah, 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 blah. They have an equity team, equity policy development, all of this stuff. They said that they said that it's apparently, especially wind instrumental music. They said that the school board director, Scott Clifthorn, was explaining that apparently, like, blowing into a flute is a violent act. So they have to fight white supremacy and violence. So they have to cancel music instruction. He actually said, quote, "There's nothing about strings or wind instrumental music that's intrinsically white supremacist. However, the ways in which it is and the ways in which all of our institutions, not just schools, local government, state government, blah, 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 a bunch of garbage."
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so this American Airlines, this is kind of crazy. A passenger on American Airlines urinated on another one. I hate everything. People are ridiculous. He urinated on a flight from JFK to India, according to reports. An American Airlines passenger was taken into custody after a flight from JFK to New Delhi and wasn't apparently the only one. That sounds like a joy for that. For the crew to have to deal with. Local media said that apparently there was an argument between two passengers and it ended with one of them urinating on the other.
Have you ever done that where you thought you were losing an argument and you decided just to urinate on the other person?
Yeah, like, and also, how does one get urinated on? Because if you, how do I put it? You see that it's happening. You see what's coming. Wouldn't you, like, flee so that doesn't happen to you? I mean,
when you're on a plane, it's hard to flee.
I mean, you can probably, like, go somewhere. I mean, I don't know. I don't even understand this story. Aren't peacocks mean?
They are.
Okay, so a guy in the Bronx, a roaming peacock bit his leg. They had to actually call the ambulance. Emergency medical services. They had to call him to a scene of a bite. In New York, in Manhattan, where an unnamed man suffered a minor injury. He didn't go to the hospital. He used the Citizen app, and it was a ferocious peacock roaming the streets, and it bit his leg. He said in the video, quote, "I thought I was bugging." And he goes, "It started running up the hill to go into traffic. We had to try to keep it safe." And then he said, as they were trying to save this stupid bird's life, he grabbed my pants, and then the blinker flew in the blinker tree, and then he said he got blinking bit and it blinking hurt, and it was a ferocious peacock. Yeah, I read that they're very temperamental, but at the same time, aren't they great? Like, aren't they like as good as, like, they're as loud as like a guard dog, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, I know, what is the other bird that does that? It sounds like a woman screaming. Oh my gosh. Guineas. Yeah, guinea hens. There was one that was in our old neighborhood once, sidebar. I know I have headlines, but I didn't have any, like, corn, because apparently it likes corn. The only close thing I had was, like, a Dorito. So I was trying to lure it with some Doritos. Didn't like it. And every time I got near it, it went, "Aah!" and it would run. It was ridiculous. I loved it. Let's see. The governor in West Virginia is going to challenge Joe Manchin. That's kind of to be expected. I think everybody was expecting that was going to happen. Oh my gosh, this is nuts. No pun intended. NBC affiliate. A sperm donor who fathered at least 550 kids has been banned from donating any more DNA. They said he misled prospective parents about the amount of offspring he had helped to conceive. 550. They said you're only allowed to produce a maximum of 25 with 12 mothers. How do you get to 550? That means somebody's going to be with somebody's cousin over there. That's messed up. Or a half sibling or something. Good heavens. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. All kinds of good stuff. And we're here at the bottom of this third hour on this Friday. We made it to Friday. I've been really interested in watching the back and forth of this. So Netflix has decided to make a docudrama on Cleopatra. And they had it cast. They have a 37-year-old English actress Adele James as the title character. And then it all went to hell because some people got mad, not for the reasons that you think, though. So Egypt is mad, like the entire country of Egypt is mad, and they have slammed Netflix for what they say is the falsification of Egyptian history. In fact, the phrase that was used, and it's a Jada Pinkett Smith docuseries, so that tells you everything you need to know right there. Egypt and some critics from Egypt have accused Netflix of, and I'm using their words, blackwashing, and by casting a black British actress as the Macedonian Greek ruler. Whew. It is insane. And I am just sitting back and watching this. Now, Jada Pinkett Smith had said she wanted to tell the story. She said, we don't often get to see or hear stories about black queens. They had the trailer that they released a couple of weeks ago, and Egypt is infuriated. Like, literally Egypt. The Egyptian Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities shared images of the bust. And they argued that she wasn't black. They said she was Macedonian. She had, in fact, Hellenistic characteristics and a light complexion, is what they're arguing. That's the Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities in Egypt. And the Secretary General of Egypt's Supreme Council of Archaeology, Dr. Mustafa Wuziri, said that the appearance of Cleopatra in the upcoming series was a, quote, falsification of Egyptian history and a blatant historical misconception. That was a direct quote. I've never quite seen anything like this before. I mean, I know that there was like at one point Gal Gadot was attached to a film. They've been trying to make a new Cleopatra film forever, and people got really, woke scolds got mad because they were upset that it wasn't a black actress cast. And then there were arguments over Cleopatra's, her heritage and her history, her family history. And historians, including, I think, the single most prolific biographer on Cleopatra, was saying, well, you know, it's Macedonian and Greek, and was described as having European features. Or what we would call European features today is what he had said. I actually had this previously in some email prep for you. But with everything going on, we're getting to it today. But they said that Dr. Wuziri said the film is classified as a documentary and not a drama. And that was like their big sticking point. They said this isn't sort of, you know, a historical fiction, you know, fiction based off something historical. They're saying that they were presenting it. He was upset. He was saying they're presenting this as a documentary. And he said the not a drama, and the order that the owners of its industry have to investigate accuracy and refer to historical and scientific facts in order to ensure, he adds, that the history of and civilizations of people is not falsified. He blasted Netflix along with other anthropologists and archaeologists and historians. Whew. They blasted Netflix for not even referring or consulting with them when making the series. Oh my gosh. They also had an incredibly lengthy statement, and Egypt attached, the Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities attached all these images of artifacts, coins, the busts, the, you know, all kinds of whatever depiction that they could. They said that they were showing off her Greek features. It's supposed to air on May 10th. And the they said they were showing off her Greek features, etc. They had a painting from a villa at Herculaneum in modern day Campania. And they were saying that they were arguing that it was a posthumous portrait of Cleopatra. They were showing like her imprint on coin, everything. So they, I mean, it is so long. It is, I can't even get into everything. It is such a long, and the letter and everything that they attached to it. And they really got into the history. I actually learned a lot more about her dynasty and her family from reading this. But it was pretty unbelievable. And they said that the show also featured content that violated Egypt's own media laws. And they, wait, there's more. There's a lawyer, because they had a suit filed against them too. Oh yeah, yeah, they had a suit filed against them. They also had the former antiquities minister from Cairo slammed it as completely fake. They said Egyptians were reacting with horror to it. They also said that the anthropology studies and DNA studies conducted on mummy and bones confirmed that Egyptians do not bear the features of South Saharan Africans. They said that Netflix is trying to provoke confusion by spreading false and deceptive facts that the origin of the Egyptians about the origin of the Egyptian civilization. They said that one lawyer, Mahmoud Al-Samari, filed a complaint with the public prosecutor demanding that they block access to Netflix over it. And they said that the show, that Netflix was, quote, trying to promote Afrocentric thinking, distorting and erasing Egyptian identity, end quote. Whoa. So I've never seen a fight like this. Have you?
No. Our whole country?
Yeah, everybody's mad in this country, apparently. Like, Egyptians were horrified, according to some of the reporting. They were horrified. There's like, if you look at some of the European reports of it as well, they're like highly critical. What makes me mad is that it's because they don't come right out and say it, but it's almost like, especially if you look at like French reporting on it, they're attributing this to, oh, this is American wokery nonsense at work. I thought we imported that from them. Didn't we?
I think they're already over it before us.
Did they get over it and then now they're acting like it's us? I'm so confused, because that's what the left always, I mean, oh man. I understand their argument though, right?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Because isn't this the group that is upset at cultural appropriation?
Yes.
So why, I mean,
the Netflix crowd, yes.
Yeah, so why would they not have the same outrage in this misrepresentation of that culture?
I mean, it's really, exactly. And it's really hard to argue with literally the amount of scholars. And I mean, all of the people, the anthropologists, the archaeologists, the historians, the scholars, antiquities minister, current and previous, other, oh man, all these people that have come forward who have blasted Netflix. And then they like submit all of this, you know, the busts, the coinage, the, I don't want to call it a fresco, but the depictions, even in, you know, other, like in the Herculaneum one, etc. Wow, that's like really hard. It's hard to argue with that. when they presented it. I'm just like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. So yeah, Jada Pinkett Smith is getting dragged for this. Getting absolute, some might say slapped, but I swear that's not the only reason I like Brock. Cause I was just, I've never seen anything. I mean, on Twitter, oh my gosh. Like, listen to this. This is how it's being portrayed. Like, some of the comments are, identifying Queen Cleopatra as black for fulfilling modern African-American fantasies is theft of Egyptian history and an attempt to rewrite history's greats. Another says, for the nth time, the Egyptian Queen Cleopatra was not an Egyptian. She was Greek, of Macedonian descent, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, oh, wow. It is crazy. So I do think, because apparently it's, you know, and I know very, I don't know a lot about Cleopatra and the dynasty, but apparently, I mean, it's a very significant part of Egyptian history, and having that distinction is a part of, you know, there is a part of their history. But you're right. I mean, what did you say? Like, say what you were talking about, like in some of your proposals. It's like somebody who's making a movie and they, about somebody, and they.
Yeah, let's just say we go back in history. We do a movie about MLK and we just have somebody like Woody Harrelson play MLK. Or what if, you know what I mean? What if we have a movie about B.B. King and we just get like Eric Clapton or Slash to play B.B. King? Like, is that acceptable? No. I mean, based on this, it seems like those moves would be acceptable.
Yeah. I mean, there's, I think in the instances where it plays almost itself a significant portion of the story or of the history, I don't think you can ignore it. I mean, that's, and it's not excluding anything. I mean, it's just the way that something happened. But yeah, you did bring up an interesting point earlier, because with all of the weeping and gnashing of teeth over appropriation, I mean, this seems like, according to what they're all saying, that that's actually appropriation. I mean, never thought I'd see the day. I've been reading like the back and forth about this for a week and a half. I am absolutely fascinated with it, because somebody on social media, like an actress or an actor or producer, will say something, and then it's like there's like an alarm that goes off somewhere in the pyramids in Giza, and like all of these anthropologists and archaeologists and everyone else come out and they drag this person. It is, yeah. And you would, does Netflix like the attention, do you think? Because it kind of does make them look silly. If they didn't even consult with any historians, how are they going to call it a docu-drama?
Well, people are going to tune in to see if they launch it on the day they're going to launch it, number one. Number two, I think Netflix is playing it smart as far as just allowing this to happen there. They haven't really made any statements about it or anything. They're just sort of promoting this, and they're hoping that a lot of eyes and ears. Right now, they're getting free press. Look at that. They don't have to pay a dime. And how many outlets are writing about this? Right,
yeah.
Now. So yeah,
that everyone's watching and eating popcorn. I mean, to watch someone be so expertly, scholarly schooled is pretty amazing. One last quick thing. I saw this piece over at The Hill, and I keep seeing the media trying to bait Republicans into behaving a certain way or reacting a certain way. So the headline is, "Ooh, the memo. Republicans worry DeSantis has aired in Disney feud." So I read this piece. I wasn't even going to talk about it. Someone asked me about it. Just cites like a Republican, doesn't actually put anyone's name on anything. Stop taking bait. Don't take bait like this. This is so dumb. And they aired, the guy ran on this and not only had a landslide victory, but every other Republican across the state, every statewide office had a landslide victory. Whenever you see headlines like this, compare them to the election results. Just do that, because that ends it, because he ran on that. Oof, my word. Oh my gosh. All right. We have a lot of still to get into, including some of the late Hunter Biden's, the London Roberts, the woman who's the mother of the daughter he refuses to acknowledge, says that he's posing as a destitute artist to try to get out of paying any child support. I mean, the guy, you remember we talked about the house in Malibu that he lived in, the big mansion with Secret Service next door? Yeah, there you go. We have still a lot to hit.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You're a lovable curmudgeon here. Kane and I are on break. We're watching the weather because we turn into amateur meteorologists. So we're like, wait a minute, Where's this town at? Oh, if it's like a tiny town that we haven't heard of, where's the, there's movement. There's a funnel. And so we are like, that's what we're going to be doing the rest of the night, dude. You know that?
Yes.
That's what we're going to be doing the rest. It's what I did in Missouri though, too. Like it, you know, it doesn't matter. I think like Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas, you know, Texas, you know, there's, we all become like expert weather watchers. And it's, is it just, no, I think if you hear the sirens, you need to seek shelter. But do you ever do the thing like, does it sound like a train outside yet? Because when it does, then I'll go. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, man. I'm telling you what. And I don't know. But we were watching the weather because it got the severe. We thought it was going to be hailing like crazy at this point. And we were worried. We were like, oh, we got backups. We got, you know, worried about the show because Texas shuts down if the rain gets too hard. Them raindrops get too big. So we help everybody out there and our listening area in Texas stays safe and dry as well. All right. So make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Chapter and Verse. There's all kinds of stuff that goes out. I also have the notes, which I'm putting stuff in a little bit more regularly. It's just weird stuff that doesn't fit into the newsletter. I'll put it in there as well. So make sure you go and see, check that out, go and see that. And we don't forget the bumper track list all over at Spotify. The April one is up there. And I always add to it throughout the month. So we start out kind of small and then I always grow it every month. So you can find that on Spotify as well. Everything is out there in the link tree that's up on the bio, my bio link. So you can go and find all that jazz. And of course, you know, who knows what's going to, there's probably going to be like a big news dump, like the second we're off air.
Of course there is.
That's what happens typically. All right, today in Stupidity, King.
Yeah, it happens every week that way. All right, so second gentleman, Doug Emhoff. He's sitting with Kamala Harris and just admits, hey, this is why I'm here. Listen.
Which is the
moment.
Well, look, I'm only here because I'm married to her. Kamala Harris,
the I hate
first female vice president of the United States.
Oh, man.
He sounds, I don't know, he just sounds kind of goofy.
They look like two peas in a pod. With
they're
the
both
laughs
goofy.
And the, yeah, exactly. That's
they're
what I
both
mean.
Goofy people. They so both amazing. Do the awkward laugh. Like, can you imagine them at, like, a dinner party? It just, I can't.
She's a heartbeat away.
A heartbeat
You know, you
away.
Have to be, Kane, you have to be unburdened by what has been.
Oh,
that helps me going into the weekend. Thank
yeah.
you,
yeah. And, you know, from what was to being unburdened by what has been. You have to. Just what you have to do. Folks, that does it for us this week. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. And, of course, I'll be back behind the mic with you on Monday. Stay safe and dry from the storms. God bless.